Right. So we are still looking at divine events that God uses to draw us into the fulfillment of the ministry and the call of God for our lives. Amen. Listen to me. I want you to know and believe that God has called you. I really want you to have this at the back of your mind, that God has really called you and God has really, really chosen you and to use you. It's important to let this be at the back of your mind, because from time to time, Satan would like to speak to you and tell you that you are nothing. But you are very special to God. Yes. Every born again Christian is a very, very special person to God and a special vessel to God. I'm telling you, you have to believe it and you have to be conscious about it, that God likes you. Yes, God really likes you and God really wants you. Even though you may not like yourself, but God really likes you. Yes. And you have to say to yourself, you have to look at your salvation, even how you got saved. You have to look at it and see that God really likes you and God really loves you. You see, the way David served God, do you see, was David served God in a very special way. Bible says he died after he ascended in the book of Acts. It's that he served God and he became a man after God's own heart. Even though he made some terrible mistakes, but David was seen and called as a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says that, and he died after he had served his own generation, Acts 13:36. By the will of God, he fell on asleep, that's died, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But David says something. I want you to look at it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Okay, verse 4. David said, "How be it, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all," say all, "the house of my father," sorry, "before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah." Are you listening? "He has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over Israel." He liked me. You see, Israel had 12 tribes. The tribe of Reuben and Naphtali, I mean all of them. There's 12 sons of Jacob. Now, Judah, the tribe of David, was the least of all the tribes. Do you understand when something is the least?
Yeah.
It's like among the greatest, they were the last. It's like the least. Least of all. Then among the least, his father's tribe, among the least in Judah, his father, his family was the least. So least of the least. Least of the least. And among his father, who was the least, his children, eight children, David was the least. So the least of the least of the least. So first of all, bypass all the 12 tribes and chose his tribe, which was the least. And then God, when God came to the tribe, his tribe, which was the least, he bypassed all the families and came to his father's family, which was the least. And then when he came to his father's children, family, he bypassed all his seven brothers who were far older and the greatest. And rather, he was the one chosen. Remember when Samuel went to the house of Jesse? First Samuel chapter 16. And then he got there. As soon as he got there, he saw the firstborn of Jesse. He was called Eliab. As soon as he saw Eliab, he said, wow, this is a kingly material. This is the guy. This is the guy. This is the reason why I came to this house. There's power here. He said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me, before him. This is the guy. So he took a bottle of oil and he was about to anoint it. The Lord said, hey, what are you doing? Be careful now. This is not the guy. You are looking at the outward appearance. Yes, when you look at him outwardly, you'll be impressed. He's well built and he looked like, yeah, that's the guy. But don't look at that. I'm always looking at the heart. So he said he's not the one. Then Abinadab also came. The second one, and Shammah also came. Then all the other guys came. God didn't speak. And the prophet was confused. He said, are these your only sons? Then he said, there remained one. But he's the youngest. He's the least. He's a nobody. I don't consider him as anything. He lives at the backside of the desert. Yes, and the prophet said, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes. So when David finally showed up and the prophet saw him, he said, yes, the Lord spoke and said, this is he, anoint him. Yes. Now when David looked at all this, he said that God, he really liked me to make me a king over Israel. That the way God chose and selected and chose, no. He must have liked me. So I want you to know that God really likes you. Yes. God really, really, really likes you. First of all, to save you. Huh? He really likes you. So believe it. And that is a calling. That's the calling. Because nobody likes anybody by chance or by default. You really like someone for a reason. Do you know that? Yes. You see, show the difference between like and love. Yes, like and love. Now, we are commanded to love, but we are not commanded to like. Love is a command. Like is a choice. And you are asked to even love your enemy. And those who hate you, it's a command. But there's no scripture that says like your enemy. Yeah. Because like is a choice. Yes. And like is based on reasons. But love is not based on any reason. Because it's a command. You are just commanded to love and love everybody, including your enemy. But like is by choice. Do you see? And to be liked means to be favored. That's what it means. And nobody likes anybody without a reason. Yes. So that is why even in marriage, love is not enough. You have to really like the person also. Yes. Because if you don't like the person, you only love the person, the marriage doesn't have a future. Because you can love anybody, but you can't like everybody. Yes. So one sister was going to marry a brother. I said, do you like him? She said, no. But I love him. So I told her brother, if I were you, I would never marry this girl. Because she doesn't like you. But she didn't believe. He didn't believe. So they married. Today they are divorcing. Yes. And she was honest, but the guy didn't believe that it meant something. But it means something. Yes. Before you marry somebody, you have to really like the person. There must be something about the person that makes you like or attractive to the person. Yes, it's very important. That thing is very, very important. It's not only love. Mm-hmm. Because love, you have to love unconditionally. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but you can't like somebody unconditionally. You can't like everyone. It's a choice. And it's like, I have to see, so I like this about this girl. Because of that, I'm going to stay with her, live the rest of my life. So when you like somebody and you don't even love the person, you are likely to be happy in the marriage. Because when you read the scripture, you say, love your enemy. And this person is not your enemy. Even if it's your enemy, Bible says love. And to be a Christian, you want to obey the word of God. You'll be forced to love her. But like. There must be something. So every woman should find out for your husband, what do you like about me? Okay. Lara, do you understand? You have to ask your beloved, sweetheart, what do you like about me? Maybe she will say, I like your hair. Then it means that, Charlie, you must take good care of this hair. Because the day is not there, something will change. Yes. Yes. What do you like about me? What do you really like about me? And if he tells or she tells you, take it seriously. Yes. Because when it's not there, things will be different. One brother, he likes a sister because of singing. Yes. So in the house, when he sees her, he said, please sing, please sing. Song, sing a song. Let a song flow, let a song flow. What a shock. Yes. Yes. Nobody likes nobody for nothing. It's like favor. And so I just had favor. Favor. Favor means being liked, being preferred. But there is something that distinguishes you from others that will make somebody choose you and not choose the other person. Yes. That's what the Bible says, favor for men of skill. It's like your skill when you're applying for a job. The reason why they will choose you is what you have, what they can see you can do, the skill. So you have to have something. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yes. And if in the secular world or even in normal life, even in marriage and all that, one of the things that makes a man likes a woman. Ladies, are you here? You have gone home. Yeah. If a man is ever going to like you,
okay.
All right, mm-hmm. One of the keys you must never throw away is the key of honor. Yes, the key of honor, respect. Yes. What a man wants from a woman is honor, respect. And honor is submission, respect. When you don't have it, you become ugly. Yes, you become ugly. You are not attractive anymore. So sometimes someone says, wow, his wife is very beautiful, but maybe she's like Vashti. Yes. One woman dishonored a king, and the king said, from today, you are replaced. Vashti was a beautiful queen. The king called for her. Come, I want to introduce you to my guests. I will not go. Tell him I'm not coming. As soon as the servant came in, to the people, the guest got her, said, no! No, 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 no. Therefore was the king very wrath and his anger burning him. You refuse, disrespect, dishonor. Then the people said, no! This woman has to be removed. It's like immediately the king disliked her publicly. So have you dishonored, disrespected, the liking disappeared. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that and new law. and judgment. Hey, you are giving me plenty of things here. Continue, the next one. What shall we do unto the Queen Vashti? According to, because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. 16. And Menukan answered before the king and the prince, Vashti the queen has not done wrong only to the king, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the province of King Ahasuerus. Serious. She's a bad example of womanhood. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands. See, what they did, they saw it as despisement. You are despising your husband. It's like, your husband is nothing. I will not come. Despisement. It closes the heart of a man from you. Are you here? You have gone home. I said, despisement closes the heart of a man from his wife. You despise your, and you see, especially those of you who live in some of these parts of the world, you see, you have some of these behaviors. Yes, it's like a man and a woman is the same. Which Bible is that? Which Bible is that? When the Bible says the man is the head, you have equalized yourself with the man.
I know my rights.
Yes. Where did you learn such verse from? They shall despise their husband in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, and she came not. You see, some husband, your some wives, your husband will say, come here. It's called despisement. And unfortunately, Vashti. And that was the last time she became relevant. Wow. Yes. They said, listen, we are going to replace this woman now. She's losing her position. Now, some of you, God is calling you. Say, you won't come. He's calling you. Come. Come and serve me. Come and be a pastor. Come and be a missionary. I want you to go here. I want you to do that. You say you won't come. God sees as despisement. You are despising the call. You are despising who he is. You are dishonoring him. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 24. It says, because I have called you and you refused. Oh, God is calling you and you are refusing. Ahasuerus is calling you. Say, I refuse. I won't come. God is calling you. And say, I won't come. I've stretched out my hand and you disregard it. Did you see Macron and his husband? His husband. They were coming from the plane. He was trying to. Their wife slapped him. Serious. A whole king. The whole president, your wife slaps you. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Oh, this is sad. God has stretched out his hand. And then it's like, oh, you want to hold my hand for? Oh, go away. Serious. That's what Vashti did. Yes. He said, I refuse. I will not come. Verse 25. And you have set my counsel. Anything I said, do. You say you will not do. You will not accept corrections. Some wives are like that. You will never accept corrections. You can't correct them. Your husband cannot say, don't do that. It becomes an argument. I'm showing you what can make you ugly. and not attractive. Yes. It's despisement, dishonor, disrespect. And this is something against God's word. That's why today we have a lot of young people divorcing. And it's the divorce is high in some of these developed countries. Yeah, because it's because of your deceptions here. Woman equality, this equality. Then you should throw the Bible away. When you read the Bible, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. God is a God of order. Yes, he's even in the church, he has set order in the church. Do you understand? The family too, he has set order. The husband is the head. Do you see? Then the wife, God, husband, wife, children, servant. It follows that order. So when you want to change the order, you are going to bring confusion. I would say that which is made crooked, no man can make straight. So if God has made something, that this is how he has made it, you can't change it. You can't change the order. Sisters, are you here? You have gone home. You have to listen to me carefully so that you don't marry and divorce. Yes. You don't marry and divorce because it's a mistake you should learn to avoid. Amen. Consider the work of God. For what can make that straight which he has made crooked? So it's like anything God has made, don't try to change it. God has made you a man. You want to turn yourself into a woman. Or God has made you a woman. You want to turn into a man. Consider the work of God. Consider what God has done. The work of God. And everything God made, Bible says it was good. Yes. So if God says that the husband is the head of the woman or the wife, it is good. Accept it. It will never reduce you. It will rather make you better. Once you follow God's wisdom and God's word, you become a better person. Yes. But you see, today's young ladies, they are not like that. You can insult your husband, throw your hands, shout at him, insult him. He has to plead with you, beg you. Vashti, come. I will not come. Yes. They say this is despisement. This woman, immediately they say that this woman should be replaced now. Yes. And eventually they had to do Miss England. Anybody, beauty pageant, if you're a virgin, come. You're going to choose a new wife for the king. Yes. They all came. But you see, they all respected the person they were coming to try and find favor before. So they had to treat themselves one night with a king. They have to go through purification. Body treatment. Yes. It was not liposuction. Yes. It was more of to train them how to be a queen. Yes. Proper cream. Something to bath well, look nice and smell nice. Yes. And Esther found favor. Yes. There were many girls. Look at Esther 2:15. It says, and when the turn of Esther, there were many girls, though, but when the turn of Esther, daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Wow. That favor, she was liked. Anybody who looked at her liked her. Receive that blessing. Yes. All them that looked. This is one of the prayers you must pray. That all them that looked at you will like you, will favor you. Yes. This is what makes some people get good jobs, get good husband, get like some, you are favored. It's like you have favor. Favor means to be liked. To be liked among. Like what the angel said to Mary, you are blessed amongst women. There are a lot of women who are virgins, but we have to choose one. And you who have been chosen, it means that you are well favored. Hey Mary, that are well favored. Now look at verse 17. The Bible says, and the king loved Esther above all the women, for she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So in one moment, somebody has lost favor. She has been replaced. In one moment, somebody has found favor. She's been made a queen. Yes. And I'm telling you that favor. Sometimes people say, undeserved merit. It's not true. Before somebody say, I like you, there's something special you have seen about you. Oh, yes. I like you. Because for a man, are you listening to me?
Yes.
For a man, you can be with any other woman. But there's something that makes you to be attracted to a particular one. Something. And that thing is called favor. You are favored amongst women. So when David said, the Lord liked me, there's a reason why he didn't choose Eliab. He didn't choose Abinadab. He didn't choose Shammah. But he chose David. Do you see?
Yeah.
But later as we go on, we realize that David was a lover of God. He had a good heart. He's the one who said, I will never give anything to God that will not cost me. He's the one who said, as the deer panted after the water, but so shall my soul pant after thee. He's the one who said that a day in the house of the Lord is better than 1,000 years elsewhere. And I'll prefer to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He's the one who said, one thing have I desired, one thing would I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's the one who said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's something. So see, when he loved God, he was into God. He loved the church. He loved the house of God. Why would God not choose him? His brother was in the army, top army officer. When Goliath came, everybody ran, including his brother. And then when he found out that people were running, he asked, why is everybody running away? He had gone to give food to his brothers in the army. His brother said, what are you doing here? Why are you asking such a question? Go back home. I know the naughtiness of your heart. He faced the guy. Then the guy said, is there no record? Don't you have a right to ask what is happening? Then they told him that there's a certain guy called Goliath. Do you see? The champion of the Philistines from Gath. He has come to town. Anytime he comes to town, Charlie, you better find a way to. And his brothers, they all knew. They all said, what? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who has come to defy the armies, to disgrace God's army? To disgrace? I mean, how? How? I mean, how? I can't believe it. It's like he got so irritated that somebody like that has come to make the army of God, defy them, to insult them, to make them look useless as though their God is not powerful. Hey. He couldn't stand it.
Oh.
I'm saying nobody lies, nobody by chance or by mistake. There's a reason. Yes. There's a reason. You see, one day somebody was telling me, he said, hey, Charlie, this man, he likes his wife. Pow. But everybody find their wife to be some way. So they were expecting the husband not to like their wife so much like the way he liked. I said, you don't know what this woman does to the man. You don't know something that maybe he does that the guy like, maybe food. He's a good cook. Oh, you don't understand my message? Yes. Yes. Or maybe she ministers delight. Yes. Yes. Maybe she has SDC. Do you know SDC? SDC. Yes. SDC. There are three things that you can use to charm and enchant your husband. It's called SDC. S for softness. D for delight. And C for comfort. Softness. Ladies, do you see how God has made your body? Your body is soft. That's what a man is looking for. So by nature, your naturalness, a woman is supposed to be soft. So when you made yourself tigeress, there's no softness in your voice. You are shouting and screaming at your man. You are losing it. Even when your husband is angry, Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You have to learn to be soft. That's how God has made you. And it's for a reason. Because men are attracted to softness. Yes. That's why when a man is attracted to another man, it's like, Charlie, we don't get it. Hard bone, I mean, how? Bible talks about husband and said, let your wife's breast satisfy you at all times. Hey. Oh, you don't know that it's in the Bible. You didn't know that it's in the Bible. Really? They are going to show you. Look at it. Let her be as a loving hand and pleasant rule, and let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Proverbs 5:19. Ravished. Yes. Now you know, isn't it? It's only when you marry. You have not married, please. Now, I can say a lot of girls here are not married. Let me give you an advice. Don't forget. Don't tell anybody, but it's just between me and you. Yes. Songs of Solomon chapter 8. But I can see a lot of young girls here, so let me use the opportunity to advise you. Nobody likes nobody by mistake. Songs of Solomon 8, verse 4. All right. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. All right? Don't go and stir up your love. when you are not ready to marry. So you don't enter into a relationship when you are not getting ready to marry. You are in first year in university. You are talking about beloved dozen. Hey, who is that? Who is that? You are going to awake your love. You are going to stir up your love. It's dangerous. It's too early. You are in sixth form, you are entering into a relationship. It's illegal. Illegal. Say illegal. I'm speaking Portuguese. You have to wait until he please. Yes. So in Songs of Solomon chapter 8, remember verse 4. But what I want is verse 8. Verse 8. He said, we have a little sister. Say, little sister. She has no breast. Lizzie. It's like she's a very young girl, small, adolescent. She doesn't know anything. They say, now what shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? In the day that she's ready for marriage. What would you require? He said, no problem. Verse 9. If she be a wall, we'll build upon her a palace of silver. This is what determines the bride price. If she be a wall. But if she be a door, we will enclose her with balls of cedar. All right, change the version. Change the version. If she is a virgin, if she is a virgin, like a wall, we'll protect her with a silver tower. But if she's promiscuous, like a swinging door, we'll block her door with a cedar bar. All right, that's serious. Now let me break it down. Let me break it down. Sisters, are you here? Yes. Now, a lady, your value, all right, is determined, even in the realms of the spirit, whether you are a wall or a door. Now, what is a door? This is a door. 10 men, we can all enter. Brothers, can you enter? Come and enter. Come and enter. Look at the brothers. They are entering the door. Serious. Come. Some ladies are doors. Serious. But if she be a door, if he be a wall, brother, try to enter the wall and see. Yes. You cannot enter. Do you see the difference? So a lady decides that you'll be a wall, not a door. So then the little sister said, I am a wall. The next verse. Go. So you, I was a virgin, we understand. You go. Go to King James. I am a wall. In other words, I'm a virgin. I'm a wall. I'm not the door. Many people have not entered, or people are not entering. And my breasts like towers. Do Do you know what a tower is? You can't reach it. You can't touch it. You can't touch it. You can't touch it. It's unreachable. But you boys are squeezing your breasts as if you are squeezing orange juice. Sisters, may your breasts become like towers. So the little girl said, I am a wall. My breast is like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Wow. Yes. Yes. As one that found favor. Yes. That's how you found favor. And you're able to keep yourself. Yes. So the choice is yours. If you become a wall, then we shall build upon her silver of palace. It's like your value in the spiritual thing. Your value goes high. And as against making yourself so promiscuous, a door, any guy comes around, goes, that people are entering and going out and up and down like that. It's a decision you have to make. You, these young girls who are here, do you understand what I'm saying? Marry as a virgin. Yes. If she be a wall, we shall build upon her a pot of silver. But if she be a door, oh, wood. Have you seen a wooden house? Can you compare a wooden house to a palace of silver? A big palace, Buckingham Palace. Quality. So nobody likes nobody by mistake. You like somebody because of something. So when David said, the Lord liked me and made me a king over Israel. Wow. God had a reason. Oh, yes. So I'm saying that you too, for God to save you, he likes you. And there's a reason why he likes you. Wow. Yes. So that's really one of the reasons.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's read from verse 12. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, and put me in the ministry, Now, the reason why God overlooked Paul's mistakes and put him in the ministry, give him a calling, he said, because God found him faithful. God saw that this guy can depend on him. Even though he has done many bad things, that I can depend on him. He will be faithful. He will do anything I tell him. That's why faithfulness is everything. Yes. Not because he counted him righteous or holy. How holy can you be? How righteous can you be? You know, sometimes when you see God using you, then maybe the person is very good. He doesn't have certain problems. That's why God is using him. Yeah. It's not true. God chooses people because he finds them faithful. Wow. Yes. He finds them faithful. Wow. Dependable. Yeah. Reliable. Yeah. Trustworthy. Committed. How good can you be? Romans 3:10 said, there's none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. One day somebody called Jesus. Hey, good man, good man. Jesus said, why call it be good? Then he said, there's none good except God. Yes. So I'm saying that if it's just about your goodness, there's no goodness in you. Even your righteous, the Bible says, is like a filthy rag. You see Isaiah. Do you know Isaiah? Yeah. Isaiah felt so good. He thought he was better than everybody. So in Isaiah chapter 5, he was cursing people. Woe unto you who called light dark, and darkness light. Woe unto you. Look at it. Isaiah 5. Woe unto thee that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Woe, woe, curse, curse. Curse unto you. You people, you are liars. You say light is black, black is black is white, white is black. Light is darkness, darkness is light. You call that, I mean, serious.
Serious.
Woe unto you that rise up early in the morning. You follow strong drink. He was cursing the people. You people, you are drinking beer. You are drinking, you are cursed, you are cursed. Woe unto you that draw iniquity with cause of malice and sin, as it were, as a cut of rope. Woe, 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 woe. Curse unto you, curse. Woe unto you that draw iniquity. Keep going, going, going. Woe, 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 woe. Curse, 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 curse. Cursing the people. Serious.
Serious.
Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their... He was woeing the people. Woe, woe, woeing. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong wine. Hey! Then in chapter 6, verse 1, say, in the day that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and mighty, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2, above stood the seraphims. Verse 3, and one cried unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. 4. Quickly. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, the house of filled with smoke. Now look at verse 5. 5, brother. Then said I, woe is me. I am the bad one. You see, the day you meet God, you will see how dirty you are. Yes. Self-righteousness is a very dangerous thing. Those of you who think that you are better than somebody, it's not true. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. My lips are dirty, full of filth. And I dwell in the midst of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Change the version.
Change the version.
Say, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed. For I am what? A sinful man. I am have filthy lips. You were a few days ago, you were standing there judging people that because they drink, they saw before they do, they are bad people, they are condemned, they are sinners, they are whatever. Serious. The day he saw the Lord, he said, I am the bad one. I am the most sinful person. Even my lips that I'm using to preach, is dirty. I'm unclean. Yes. Look, one day I had an experience with God. Do you see? This is 2005. I was in my room. And I just said I was going to have a visitation of the Lord. So I was in bed, lying on the bed. Then suddenly, light was appearing in the room. Light was appearing in the room. And then the light kept getting stronger and 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 stronger until the walls of the room, like the walls here, I could see every particle inside, like a crystal glass. Come and see me. I was crying. And the only thing I could say was, Lord, I'm sinful. I'm dirty. Please forgive me. And I was crying. I was screaming. I was alone. My wife had not joined me on the mission field. Look. That's where I realized when the Bible says, God is light and in him is not at all. Look, I don't even know how to explain to you. Everything became like glass in there, in the room. The light. That's where you see, and you see that you are dirty. So me, I understand Isaiah. The day you experience God, you see God in a way. I saw God. God visited me in the form of light. Wow. Because God is different things. Wow. Bible says God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Yes. That's why you must be very careful. Don't be too judgmental on people. Don't be. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, said the thing with that judges, that doeth the same thing. Anything you are judging, you are also guilty of the same thing. Only that you don't know. It said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whatsoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judges another, thou condemnest thyself. For the thing with thou judges, doeth the same thing. So as Isaiah was judging the people, he didn't know that Charlie, he's doing the same thing. He was also a very dirty sinner. That's why nobody has the right to judge somebody. Judgment there is of God. Yes. You rather pray for yourself. When you see that somebody has fallen into a problem, you pray for yourself. Yes. And sometimes if you are humble, you are even quiet. Because you realize that what has happened to the person, it's not far from you. Or maybe you have also done the same so that you have not been found. You have not been found. For thou that judgest, change the version. Sometimes King James's words are too heavy. You may think that you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you who judge others, do these very same things. Hey. Same. So Isaiah, he found out that, hey, now he said, woe is me. I'm actually the bad. I'm the worst. I'm the bad. Woe is me if I'm undone. Do you see? Yes. Then God said, who shall I send? Who shall I go? Isaiah said, I will go. So all the time that Isaiah was even preaching, God had not sent him. I don't understand the message. He was preaching in chapter 5, cursing the people. Whoa. Now God said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. So he said he was preaching when God has not even asked him to say whatever. Yes. So sometimes people are doing ministry, God has not called them. That's one of the definitions of to be called, is to be sent out properly. To be sent out properly. Because you just send yourself. Who sent you? Yes. You just sent yourself. So to be called, you have to send you properly. You have to send you properly. Amen. And you see that after this, Isaiah's message changed. There was no whoa. There was no cursing of the people. The nearer you come to God, the more you become less judgmental. Oh yes. The closer you are to God. That's what the Bible says, that a high priest is taken from amongst men. So that you have pity on the people. A pastor is supposed to be pitiful on the members. Because the sins of the sheep is the sins of pastors also. Yeah. Pastors are not exempted from problems of the sheep. The same. So as you are, the high priest is offering sacrifices for or gifts for the sins of the people. He's also praying, offering sacrifice for himself. of the same problem. That's a priest is taken from amongst men. From amongst men. Do you see? Not from amongst angels. So when you become a pastor, remember, you are not better than the people who are not yet pastors. So don't become too judgmental. Alright? Rather, you're supposed to be merciful because you know that, Charlie, it's not easy. So this is the reason why Jesus had to become a man. Because nobody understands. Angels don't even understand us except Jesus. So Jesus Christ became our chief high priest. So in Hebrews 4 verse 15, look at it. He says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Talking about Jesus. Change the version. Change the version. Is that this high priest, he's talking about Jesus, of ours, understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. He faced what? All the testings. So any test you have faced, any temptation you have faced, Jesus passed through that phase. He understands it. If you have been tempted for a woman, Jesus too have been tempted by a woman before. Only that the Bible has not written it anywhere. But this scripture is explaining. Because he was a human being. Is a pastor not a human being? A human being. Yes. He faced all of the same testings we do. But you know why Jesus did not sin? Because he had a spirit without measure. So sin could not settle on him. Yes. John spoke about him. In John 3:34, he said, "He that is sent of God," talking about Jesus, "speaketh the words of God, and God gives him the spirit without limit." It's like putting a bucket under a tap. Alright? And the tap is flowing, it never stops, and the bucket is full. Any dirt you put on will fall. You put leaves, the leaves will fall. So far out the spirit is without measure. It keeps running over, over. Any sin will fall off. It can't settle. Yes. Yes. That's why the anointing, you must always pray for fresh anointing. Uh-huh. That's what helps you to keep yourself from sin. When you stop praying, do you understand? The oil becomes old and it's sins that settle. Death. Do you see? So Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 1. I don't know whether I'm giving too many scriptures. Yes. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. Dead flies. So oil that is fresh anointed, but it's like, because it's dead, it's old, you don't pray, there's no freshness. David said, "That's anointed me with fresh oil." You don't want fresh oil, you want to stay with the old oil, no prayer, nothing. What is happening is that it's going to start stinking. And it will attract flies, sin, demons, evil spirit. Change the version. As dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink. Bottle of perfume, which is supposed to smell nice, is stinking. Smelly. So the oil is very dangerous to walk in the same anointing, old oil. All the time, pray for fresh oil. Fresh oil. You leave the oil in a bottle staying there, before you realize it's stinking. Okay, so Jesus had the oil without measure, without limit. That's why he couldn't sin. But not that he was never tempted. He was tempted. Do you see? Yes, he was tempted. Go back. Hebrews 4:15. "For we have not a high priest He but was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. Okay? Change the version. Change the version. We don't have a priest who is out of touch of our reality. He has been through weakness and testings. Experienced it all, but without sin. Go back to the first one, the NLT. Ah, thank you, Jesus. He said, this high priest of ours understands our weakness. Are you happy that God understands your weakness? And he faced all of the same testing we do, yet without sin. Now verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Yes. We'll find mercy. So you see that mercy is what we have all received. And we must respond to God's mercies in order to fulfill the ministry. Do you understand?
Yes.
So that's what Paul was saying. That I thank Jesus Christ that he found me faithful. First Timothy, go back. 1:12. That he found me faithful by putting me into the ministry. Yeah. Verse 13. Who before? And he's talking about his life. Who before? A blasphemer.
Hey!
A blasphemer. A persecutor. An injurious. But I obtained mercy. Say, I obtained mercy.
I obtained mercy.
Change the version.
Change.
Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me. God had what?
Mercy.
Mercy on me. Look at the bad things that Paul was doing. Now, as you stand here, do you think God have had mercy on you? How many want God to show us on this screen some of the bad things you have done? That nobody knows. How many don't want God to show us on this screen? At all. You don't want God to show it, isn't it? How many will beg God not to show it to? Yes. But look at you standing here today. Even though you are born again, but you still don't want God to show us some of the things you were involved in. Because you have obtained mercy.
Yes.
Now you must respond to the mercy of God. Yes. You must respond to the mercy of God. And you will make full proof of your ministry.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody who responds to the mercy of God is walking in a supernatural way into the fulfillment of your ministry. And you must have proper respect for mercy so that God will guide you into what he has for you. Amen.
Amen.
God has shown us mercy, I tell you. Yes. Now, to receive mercy, to receive forgiveness of sin. Yes, that is shown to an offender. So God calling you means that he has been lenient, or he's been lenient with you and he's having pity on you. Honestly, there's no reason to call you and use you. I mean, come on, let's be serious. If God is looking for a vessel, I mean, why should he choose somebody like you and me? But he has shown us mercy. That's what Paul. I mean, why would God choose Paul? There are good people there. Nice people who have not done anything. They have never killed any pastor. They've never arrested any Christian. They've never put any Christian in jail. They've never insulted. He even insulted, blasphemed against God. He insulted God. Have you insulted God before? He insulted God. Persecuted. He caused injuries to the body of Christ. But he obtained mercy. And it was that act of kindness God showed him that made Paul to go all out for God. But some of you have obtained mercy, but you're not serious with God. You have not responded to the mercies of God. It has not reflected in your walk with God. You are behaving as though God has not done anything for you. You are behaving as though God has not forgiven you of anything. You see, one day Jesus went somewhere and a lady came and anointed his feet and started kissing his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And people were there criticizing. I'm sure it was Mary Magdalene who did that. So then Jesus spoke a parable to ask them a question, to explain to them why this woman is showing so much love and was responding the way she was responding. She said there were two people who were owing money. All right? Let me explain it this way. One was owing £1,000,000. The other was owing £1,000. And both of them could not pay. And they were going to be arrested. Everybody was going to be put into jail because they couldn't pay. But they were both forgiven. Then Jesus asked a question. These two people, which of them will love more? Will love much the man who has forgiven them? Do you understand? He said the one who was owing £1,000,000. And he said, that is what is happening to this woman. He said, he that is forgiving much, loveth much. He that is forgiving much, that's what? Loveth much. He that is forgiving much, that's what? Loveth much. So now look into your life. Look at the many sins you have committed. Look at the abominable sins you have committed. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So could it be that you are loving little because your sins are very little? Your sins are plenty. Stop pretending. I said, stop pretending. Look, one day I did an experiment. I didn't even realize I was doing an experiment. I was fasting for 21 days. So I was in the house alone. This was early days of my mission work. Hey! I was not going out. I was not watching television. I was only in the room praying, worshiping, playing worship song, messages. But one of the days, as I was in the room, hey! I became so sinful. I couldn't even believe it. Bad thoughts were coming from left, right, center. I've been praying for days, so fasting, evil thoughts. At a point, I was even getting angry with God. I said, so this is what I'm going to do, God. This is what I'm going to do all my life. Be here, no food, no eating. I'm here. I tell you, the thoughts that were coming. I said, wow. So you realize that even if there's nobody in the whole world and you are here alone, you'll still be sinning, sinful. Okay. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That's why she loved much. Yes. So God is looking at the way you respond to his mercy. That, hey, this girl, the things she has done, her mother doesn't know about it. Her daddy doesn't know about it. Her pastor doesn't know about it. I'm the only one who knows. And I've forgiven her. I've cleansed her. I've filled her with the Holy Ghost. But look at her. When she comes to church, she won't dance. She won't clap. She won't sing. She won't shout hallelujah. She won't say amen. When people are standing, you are sitting. Serious. That is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, seeing that you have a calling, God has called you, the first thing you should know that you have obtained mercy. It's mercy that has given you an opportunity to do something for God. It's mercy. Exemption. Mercy, exemption. It's that your sins are worth that you shouldn't be in the ministry. So if you're in the ministry, it's mercy you have obtained. It's mercy that has brought you. So mercy is what has made me to stand here to be preaching to you. Not that I'm better than you. It's the mercies of God that is at work in my life. Therefore, we faint not. We don't get discouraged. Change the version. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this way, this new way, we never give up. This new way of preaching is God who has shown us mercy. So respond to the mercies of God and you end up fulfilling your ministry, becoming useful and profitable to God and to the church and to the kingdom of God. Because you have been forgiven much. Yes. You must love much. That is why there's power in forgiveness. Yeah, that's why there's power in forgiveness. There's power in forgiveness. I think Psalm 130 verse 4 also, he said that there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. You see, when somebody does something bad to you and you're able to forgive the person becomes afraid of you. Especially in marriage. Yes. If you can give, if you can forgive your husband or you can forgive your wife for something bad, terribly bad she has done or he has done, if only you can forgive, you are likely to have a good marriage after. The person will love you and revere you and will treat you well. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because there's power in forgiveness. That's why he that is forgive you much, loveth much. Uh-huh. So sometimes the love is because you have done something terrible and your husband has forgiven you or your wife has forgiven you. That's the best way to respond. But sometimes people don't respond that way. They rather become funny.
Yeah,
yes. Forgiveness is powerful. It makes you very, very powerful. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we revere God, because there's forgiveness with him. That's why we respect God, because of his ability to forgive us. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Sometimes even when you are coming to God, it's like, oh, God, I'm coming back with the same problem. I told you I'm not going to watch pornography again. Last time I promised you, that was the last time. And this morning I've gone to watch again. And Lord, I told the other time I would never masturbate again. But now here I've done it again. Do you understand what I'm saying? So respond to the mercies of God. Respond to it. God has shown you mercy. Respond to it. That's why he has given you a ministry. Respond to it. Don't hold back. Respond to the mercy and show your love and your appreciation by loving God, by serving God, by following God, because of the mercy he has shown you. Hallelujah.
Amen.